going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Campbell's wingspan would be a bit of a historical outlier at that position. How do you view that information? And did that give you any pause at any point throughout the evaluation process?
I wouldn't say it gave pause. It's something that you kind of get that metric and you go back and look at it. I think we only started measuring wingspan like 10 years ago. So, historically for the last 10 years, maybe it's an outlier, but ultimately it always comes back to the tape and just some of his unique athletic ability and ability to bend and extend, even though he doesn't have that long wingspan, his ability to recover and his ability to anticipate. For a young guy, he's pretty polished for an offensive lineman. So we just kept coming back to the tape and seeing those things and didn't think they affected him too much.
How about that? The Wolfpack still has some kind of role.
Yeah, he is. He's up there.
Makes it sound like he was the guy in charge, for God's sakes.
He's got a real job. He's in charge of stuff.
I do like how he said we didn't see it too much on tape when it comes to Will Campbell.
No.
And see the issues too much.
No.
In the SEC.
You've only measured wingspan for 10 years?
I also like that.
Maybe it's an outlier.
We've only been measuring wingspan for about 10 years. We should fact check. When he says about 10 years to me, that's a red flag where it's like, I bet it's a lot longer than that. Because didn't we have numbers the other day from Giardi that they went back at least to 2011?
Yeah, I thought so.
So that's more than 10 years. Maybe it's 14. But still, when he says about 10 years, already I'm like, this sounds like a BS answer.
Uh-huh.
But okay, fine. You only measured it for that amount of time. It's absolutely an outlier for that amount of time, which he did acknowledge. So if you had thoughts on Will Campbell, we felt like it was important to react to that on Friday, give our thoughts on that on Friday and be here for that. I didn't love that pick. I have questions about that pick. It's hard for me, Keith, to give the Patriots too high of a grade. I love a lot of what they did on day two and day three, but day one has to really outweigh everything else in my estimate. It's the fourth overall pick.
Right.
So if you're going to be giving the Patriots a high grade, an A, you better love the Will Campbell pick. Maybe you do. I was less of a fan of it. I'd give the Patriots like a solid B for this. Mm-hmm. I think they got a lot of players who could start and contribute. I really like what they did on day two, meaning rounds two and three. But if your highest pick may not even be a fit at the position you drafted him for, he may not be a left tackle, it's hard for me to go too high with the grade. I'd give him a good solid B.
Yeah, you can't take every pick and give that a grade and then average it out because it is so top weighted. Like, you can't like, oh, I like the flyer they took in the seventh. That's not the same as the guy who took it fourth overall.
Right.
So I'm with you. I think if you love the Will Campbell pick, then it's got to be an A plus. I was more in the middle. I liked it more than you did, for example. So I'd probably go like B plus.
B minus.
No, Duran, I would go B plus. I also, full disclosure, I guess take all these with a grain of salt. Last year at this time, I also liked the draft.
Me too.
An egg on my face.
Last year, I did give the draft an A.
Because they went quarterback, they drafted two wide receivers, they drafted two offensive linemen, they grabbed a tight end. Like, they went so offensive heavy, which is what they needed to do.
Uh-huh.
For years, you know, Belichick took so many defensive players and left the team with nothing on offense. And you were saying, all right, at the very least, draft offensive guys. And at the time of the draft, we didn't know that Polk and Baker couldn't play at all and the linemen weren't great. So, you know, they even took a second quarterback who they've since traded. But at that time, I was like, what a good draft that was. It was terrible.
Right.
They got Drake May, so I guess maybe not terrible. And so maybe this will work out the opposite way, where the first round pick last year hit and nobody else did. Maybe this year, even if you have to move Will Campbell to guard, maybe you get a bunch of productive players. Like, I love the Travion Henderson pick. On Friday, we came on and we each had our five guys that we liked.
He was on your list.
He was number one.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they had the sixth pick, I guess it was, in the second round. And you're sitting there, guys are coming off the board, and you're like, hey, they could take him. And they did. I'm like, wow. Not often does that happen. Like, in the Bill Belichick era, they never drafted the guy, for better or for worse, that you wanted them to take. So Travion Henderson was one. And then, even though we didn't talk a ton of Kyle Williams, I don't think, during the draft.
No, we thought they'd be targeting receiver earlier.
Yeah, I liked both Iowa State guys who both went to Houston.
Yep.
You notice that?
I did notice
Houston
this.
Drafted both of them.
The Patriots did not have a chance to get Higgins. He went, I think, 34 to Houston.
I would have taken Noel.
So you would have taken Noel over Williams?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I probably would have. But, I mean, I like Williams, too. Very productive last year. Super speed. So they went speed heavy with both Henderson and...
He toasted your guy, Travis Hunter.
I am aware of that. That I watched that video going into the draft from the Hunter perspective, meaning, like, this was a knock on Travis Hunter as a corner. I'm not overly concerned about that, but he did have a very good matchup against Travis Hunter.
He was
for sure.
17 yards a catch last year at 14 touchdowns for Washington State.
So here's what I like. Okay, so I don't love the Campbell pick, and I'm not changing my mind on that. The Twitch chat is like, of course you guys are down on the draft. I gave it a B.
B plus is good.
Yeah, I didn't say they failed. I just said I can't give it an A if I don't love the fourth pick. Like, I'm sorry I don't love the fourth pick.
No, it's very weighted by the top pick.
I never loved Will Campbell. We were talking about him in college football season, and we said in like November he might be a guard. I didn't even need to see the measurements at the combine. There were questions about him in his final year at LSU that he may not be a tackle. I never loved that pick. I'm sorry I don't love that pick. Sorry. I can't give it an A if I don't love the first pick. But the rest of it, I do think, to a degree, they nailed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were going to nitpick, I wish they took the receiver at 38 and they got the running back in the third round. But Travion Henderson has the potential to be...
I like him.
A difference maker and wildly explosive, and something I didn't know about him, and you saw this in the immediate aftermath of the pick, was how good of a pass blocker he is, which I don't really care about, but coaches care about, and that's going to get him on the field quickly, and he's not going to be a guy you have to protect and keep off the field. He's going to play immediately because they can trust him on third down, and he can be out there, A, protecting Drake May, and B, it's not going to be a giveaway every time he's on the field. Like, if you can't pass block, Sony Michel was this way.
Yeah.
If you can't pass block and you're not much of a pass catcher and you're on the field, the defense knows you're running and like you get into that.
It took James White a little bit to get on the field. So, took Shane Vereen time to get on the field.
So look, I love that these two guys are fast and explosive because I think the offense needs that. I think they need playmakers and game breakers and explosive players and fast players. And I do think they need that. What they sacrifice is size, which is one of the things I don't love about Henderson. Elliot Wolf said he's going to be a three down back. I don't think he will be. Okay, I don't think he has the frame to be a three down back. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But that's my opinion on that. At 202, I don't think he's a three down guy. Now, if he's a pass game back and he's electric and he's Kamara or somebody like that, well, then look out. That's an awesome pick. Or the comp for him, super high end, would be Jahmyr Gibbs. If that's what he is, then awesome. But I think backs at 202 tend to not be three down backs. Kyle Williams, to me, is, again, explosive. He's also small. You brought up, Keith, you know, some questions about his ability to catch. Mike Reese had this note over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Williams had 14 catches on passes thrown 20-plus yards downfield, which was fourth in the FBS. That's great.
Yeah.
Again, that speaks to his speed and his explosiveness. Williams, whose hand side was measured at 8 3/4, totaled 8 drops last year, 15th most in FBS. That's an 8% drop rate. So he can get open. Is he going to catch it when he gets there? I don't know, but I love that these guys are fast and explosive, even if they had to sacrifice some size for it. I love that it feels like they had a type, and they went for it, and we'll see if they're right.
Well, and based on recent track record with a guy like N'Keal Harry, or even, you know, Jalen Polk, who doesn't have the same body as N'Keal Harry, but he's more of like a possession receiver and, you know, talks about like contested catches. Like, I'll take a guy that just gets open.
Agreed.
And then at that point, all right, catch it. You're going to have to catch it. But give Drake May some home run hitters, which he did not have last year. So if Kyle Williams kind of sprinkles in as maybe your third receiver, but he's just tearing down the field, like, I'll take it. Henderson, at least in year one, won't have to be a three down back. and maybe you start to use him more and more and more on, or maybe like every third down, and then depending on whether or not Stevenson's holding on to the ball or not, or, you know, depending on the type of season Gibson's having, he may be that guy. Like, I looked at him as probably, what, the third best back draft?
I preferred him to I preferred Judkins to him.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And Judkins did go before him, but yeah.
They're both, like, top five, so I think...
Fourth, certainly a top five back in the draft, yeah.
And so that's why, like, you and I both... You first, and then I was like, yeah, like, I liked the idea of Jenty at four. But once that passed, I certainly didn't want to trade back into round one and get, like, Hampton or anything like that. And the fact that the draft just fell to you and Henderson was on the board, I'll take, because this... You need to add as many pieces to the offense as possible. And so they tried that with Campbell, and that will, we shall see. But ideally, if you're thinking about it, if you hit on all your picks, they said left tackle, speed back, which Robert Kraft talked a lot about,
Might have been a Robert Kraft pick at 38.
And speed wideout. Like, you added those three things. So as heavy as they were on defense during free agency, it was kind of a breath of fresh air to go, here's three guys that should help Drake May right away.
Well, and I'll tell you, speaking of Mike Reese, he had this as well. I mean, the guys from last year probably already were on notice, but here's how Reese put it today. He said, after signing veterans Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins in free agency, and after drafting Washington State's Kyle Williams in the third round, the Patriots have revamped their wide receiver room, which I agree with. I don't know if Diggs is going to be out there week one, but when everybody's healthy and out there, that's probably their top three in some order. Reese says third-year slot, DeMario Douglas is probably safe. Probably safe. Wow. Which means veteran Kendrick Bourne, third-year player Kayshawn Booty, and 2024 draft picks Jalen Polk and Javon Baker are among those vying for a role in a suddenly crowded position group. Now, I don't know what you're going to get for Kayshawn Booty in a trade, or even Pop Douglas if you wanted to do it.
Maybe something.
I'd be surprised if they cut Bourne, but we'll see. I mean, I'm fine with none of those guys being in the room. I don't think you need any of them. I'm happy you have three guys ahead of everybody in your room from a year ago.
Yeah.
But there are going to be odd men out. And it could be the guys you drafted last year.
Well, one guy will probably make the team out of camp that won't all season in place of Diggs. So let's say Diggs starts the year on the PUP list, and that's out 4 weeks or whatever it is. Then that buys time for somebody. But that is a lot of guys. I would say Polk and Baker probably should be ready to leave.
Yeah, I mean, Baker, you're on notice. Polk, maybe because of the draft capital, you survive. But if
it wasn't a Vrabel pick.
No,
so,
it wasn't.
Like,
that's
I don't think you're safe. Like, I think... You know, it's crazier when you see around the league, you know, a second or a third round pick getting cut after a year when it's their own guys, right? Like, if it's like a Dominique Easley or a Cyrus Jones or somebody that was like, or Duke Dawson, like, you're on the team.
If Polk survives and he's on the roster,
I think that means a bunch of guys got hurt.
Well,
honestly.
Or maybe it means Wolf has a teeny tiny, I'm not telling you he's calling the shots,
yeah,
but maybe he's got a little bit of influence there. This was Elliott Wolf, by the way, after night two of the draft. He spoke after the draft on Saturday as well. But this is Wolf on Friday night about Trevion Henderson. For everyone who loves the Henderson pick, and you're one of them, ultimately they decided to stay. But they clearly considered trading out of that pick, which makes me question how in love with Henderson they were. Here's the exchange on Elliott Wolf from, again, night two of the draft.
Elliott, the broadcast showed you on the phone. It's the clock wound down to under a minute with that 38th overall pick. Can you take us through what was happening there on the phone and why you ended up on Trevion?
Yeah, so some teams were calling, talking about moving up, and ultimately we didn't feel that the value that was being offered to us was worth possibly losing out on Trevion. So we just ended up sending the pick in and, you know, getting him on the phone with about 58 seconds left there.
So he was shown on the broadcast under a minute. They're trying to move the pick. They didn't get what they wanted, but they were trying to move that pick. And it's been subsequently reported there were players, or actually he said this separately in an answer, there were players ahead of that went ahead of them that they were considering taking. So some people thought that was Higgins, the wide receiver from Iowa State.
No, Bedard said the guard from Arizona.
Correct, because the Dolphins leapfrogged them and moved in front of them. Bedard said it's the guard from Arizona. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whoever it was, they got jumped. There was a player they wanted, and they considered moving the pick. So, look, they stuck there. They ultimately took him. I do wish they got a receiver there. I like Luther Burden. He's got plenty of questions about him. And you were telling me about his girlfriend, which I was unaware
of. Yeah, there's something going on there. I don't know if she's an Instagram person or whatever, but I guess there are a few red flags.
She's a succubus like Bill's girl there? Who
no,
we'll get
that's
to?
A different story altogether. I don't think so. She's probably older than Bill's girlfriend.
But okay. I mean, I would have preferred Burden there. I wish they got the receiver in round two and the back in round three. But overall, I like what they did a lot on days two and three. They got a bunch of value players, The offensive lineman from Georgia, Wilson, Farmer, and what's the edge rusher's name out of LSU? Like, good values. Thank you. Good value that they got there.
Yeah.
So, like, I like a lot of what they did. I just wasn't in love with their pick at four, which to me outweighs it. I'll give it a B. Meanwhile, what do you think of Shadur sliding? That clearly, I mean, dominated the weekend.
Wild.
All the way to day three, round five. The Browns took Dylan Gabriel in round three.
That was insane.
And then moved up to take Shadur on day three.
Equally
in round
insane.
Five.
Equally insane was taking Dylan Gabriel over him and then also taking him two rounds later.
Nice.
So Dylan Gabriel in the third round was stupid, but then the same team taking Sanders is wild. And also the fact that they traded prior to the draft another fifth round pick for Kenny Pickett. They invested three draft picks from the 2025 draft into quarterbacks. They also signed Joe Flacco, and they still are paying Deshaun Watson. Anyway, that's Cleveland. The Sanders stuff, I was obviously surprised. I thought he was going to go for the longest time in the top three. Then I thought, all right, maybe he goes 9 to the Saints, but he's still a top 10 pick. He won't go past 21 with the Steelers. So the free fall was obviously amazing. Everybody's got a million different theories. I think it's a combination. I know it's not like one thing with him. He wasn't the best quarterback in the draft. Right, so right away, Ward's the number one pick.
Where did you personally have him?
Two. I thought he was the second best.
So I thought he was going to go in the first round, but whatever. Even if he didn't, I didn't think that was the most shocking thing he fell to day two. It was a slide, but whatever.
There was a rumble about that.
And
I was like, no, teams are dumb. They overdraft quarterbacks. I was so dead set that they're take quarterbacks, but not based on necessarily on his talent.
Yeah,
just quarterback. Like Jackson Dart, I wouldn't take in the first round.
Me neither.
But he went in the first round, and so
I was shocked he didn't go on. Early on day two. That to me from a talent standpoint is shocking.
But here's the other thing I thought of.
I don't think he has any, he has attitudinal issues maybe, or maybe he's cocky. I heard, Shime and Greg and everybody talking about this morning. Maybe. There are guys who did way worse who went on day two.
Yeah,
Mike Green went on day two, for God's sakes, to the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah.
But it might be
he slid to a degree because of that. This feels almost like collusion against the kid, for God's sakes, for how far he slid.
Yeah, and you look at the quarterbacks that won ahead of him, right? Like specifically Dylan Gabriel, who he's now oddly teammates with. So he fell into the fifth round, was still the sixth quarterback taken. So when you talk about falling to the fifth round, you're like, oh, was there 10 quarterbacks ahead of him? Like, no, five.
Right.
And one of them was so dumb that they even drafted a guy that he's probably going
to
beat out.
It's only five teams took quarterbacks.
So that's the other thing, is there's only five teams that took quarterbacks, because that always gets brought up, right? Like, how did all these teams pass him? It's like, well, why were the Chiefs going to draft him? Why were the Bills going to draft him?
Right.
So like, when you get into quarterbacks, we brought this up the other day too, how there can be rounds that go by without a quarterback for so many reasons. So last year, all those quarterbacks went in the first round, and then nobody went until the fifth round. Talk about a year ago, right? Like Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, all those guys, and then you had to wait till the fifth round. So once a fall begins, it can be pretty dramatic. And that's what it was for him, because I think there are a few teams that probably said, no, he's not really worth the first rounder. And then the other thing that popped into my head was maybe there are a lot of teams in the NFL, like the Patriots, who don't want their backups thinking they're starters. And so if the Patriots trade freaking Joe Milton just because he told a couple of people he wants to start, maybe teams around the league are like, hey, at this point, it's good value in the second and third round for Shadur Sanders, but if he and his dad think he's going to start right away, do we even want to deal with that?
And you brought this up late last week, and I think this speaks volumes too. You bring in Shadur, and you're a coach on the hot seat who, like, maybe needs to make the playoffs this year. You're inviting Dion to be your replacement.
Correct.
So when I say, like, collusion, I think it's as much to do with stuff like that than it is on his talent or his attitude or anything else. It's just people were looking out for number one, which I get. Mm-hmm. Why would I bring in a kid whose dad might replace me? Why would I do that? But I think it was something like that. Because his attitude, let's face it, is not that bad. I don't think. It's not that bad where you go from maybe a day one talent to the fifth round. It's not that bad.
No, the NFL famously doesn't draft cocky players. There's never a cocky guy in the draft. Did you see the suits on some of these guys
Seriously.
First round? Like, please.
Meanwhile, rough go for our guy Mel. We could play you a million clips.
Mel had a sad.
Mel, so I said on
the
on,
GOAT. The GOAT draft guy.
I said on Thursday night, Lou Riddick was on the Deion Sanders payroll, for God's sakes. I was like, that was embarrassing.
No, Mel.
Even by Saturday, Riddick had had enough of all of Mel's nonsense. Here you go.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. All that, no idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many
times? They say we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback. They don't.
Mel. Unreal.
It was a conniption.
Like, he lost his mind.
Rhys Davis a couple of different times had to be like, no, Mel, we got your point.
Davis was going to fight him.
Yeah. Rhys Davis like, we've heard it. We're now talking about what does he do now? What does he do now going forward? And then he's freaking out about how dumb all these GMs are.
Yeah, it's like, no, we get it. You think they're stupid. Now what? Right. Now how does he deal with it, Mel? And Mel couldn't get past that.
There were only, if you take the Browns out, because they eventually did draft him, there were only four teams that even drafted a quarterback. And one of them was Cam Ward.
Wait, meaning before
Shadur? Before Shadur.
Right, not in the whole draft. Before Shadur.
No, before Shadur. Yeah. So basically, Cam Ward's better than him. Right? Yeah. So you take him out. So really, like, you're arguing about Dart, Shuck, and Milroe.
Right.
Who really, like, they're not that much better than Shadur. And in the eyes of those teams, I think they thought they're better than Shadur. Where the Dylan Gabriel one's so bizarre, but then it became more bizarre when the Browns doubled down. They're like, we'll also take him.
Classic Browns.
And then Sanders is going to beat him out in camp. Whether he's the starter or the backup and third string, he's going to beat out Dylan Gabriel.
So just at some point, you figured the value on somebody's board would outweigh that.
I was wondering, Pats-wise.
Yeah.
And I know they ended up getting an undrafted kid from Louisiana.
Yeah, well, that's a nothing. That's
no,
nothing.
That's a nothing
so
thing.
Like,
but I was like, at some point.
I agree at some point. They should have, but Drake May's not going to allow it. Don't we know that? Drake May and Drake May's mama and dada are not going to allow it.
No, they wouldn't. No, right. They traded Joe Milton. They weren't going to bring in Shadur Sanders. I'm just saying, like, for me, no,
from a value standpoint, yeah, there was going to be a point, and I'm not, like, crushing the Patriots for not taking him.
Yeah.
But there was
it's not like they took the long snapper over him or the kicker over
exactly.
Him. They didn't do any of that.
If either of those happened, I would be saying maybe you should have taken Shadur
just
there.
For value.
But would I rather have an edge rusher like Swinson?
Yes.
Or a D-tackle like Farmer? The safety I didn't love in the fourth round, but whatever. They need a safety. Would I rather have all those guys? Yeah. Yes. But right, the long snapper would be a good one. Where if you're drafting a long snapper as a priority undrafted free agent type of thing, drafting him so you don't have to beat out other teams as an undrafted free agent, then they should have taken Shadur over that. Yeah. There would have been a point where I'd be kicking and screaming about this. Didn't get there.
One of my favorite quotes, which I brought up a bunch of times in the last 2 months during the draft process, was there was an NFL scout that was on Twitter, and he was saying, I did a deep dive into Shadur Sanders and, like, all the quarterbacks, but I specifically went in there, watched a ton of tape on Shadur Sanders, and my big takeaway is, wow, Travis Hunter's good. I was like, okay. So maybe that's part of it.
617-779-7937. How would you grade the Patriots draft? We're both in the B range. It's hard for me to go to an A when I don't even like the Will Campbell pick. And I wonder how much the Patriots really were in love with Henderson. People seem to love that pick. They were ready to deal the pick on night two. So you can jump in on that. We have to get to Bill Belichick, though, and his sit-down on CBS
Holy
News,
smokes.
Where Jordan got right in the middle of it and shut it down. Let's get to that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's also been a momentous year for Belichick. He was named head coach of the University of North Carolina, the result of a messy split from Robert Kraft and the Patriots in early 2024.
He's got a cold, so I'm not going to kiss him.
I have to ask about Robert Kraft because
24 years together, 6 Super Bowls. Unless I'm wrong, he's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I experienced directly.
But he's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
How's Bill Belichick yesterday?
Sure was.
CBS Mornings.
Promoting, out of nowhere.
Promoting his book, The Art of Winning.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. You know what he was doing, Jones? You know what this whole thing was?
What was that?
A cry for help. This thing was a cry for help.
Yeah.
This was 8 minutes of what is this?
It was.
And I think they filmed it, right, for like an hour or more, probably.
Yeah.
And they whittle it down to 8 minutes.
Well, Jordan kept butting in and slowing everything down.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of this. Yeah. That is a big part of this. But he's sitting there wearing a sweatshirt that's got like holes in it or whatever.
Yeah, his Navy sweatshirt, obviously. Which clearly was, it's definitely his father's sweatshirt. It's not an old sweatshirt that he like ran through the dryer a bunch and like ripped little holes in.
And
that's
it's
clearly
also
his father's sweatshirt from like the 60s.
Was this
clearly
a mandatory interview? Like a Patriots Monday WEI mandatory interview? Or did he choose to do this?
Well, he's promoting his book.
He's doing a great job promoting the book.
No, I'm saying, why do you think he sat down? He's promoting the book. That's why.
Yeah.
But, like, did he do a good job promoting it?
I'm sure these things are selling like hotcakes right now.
Portnoy, by the way, I guess watches CBS Sunday Morning every week. That's like his thing, he said.
All right. Good for him.
He tweets out, imagine my surprise this morning when they had the most awkward Bill Belichick interview I've ever seen.
Ever.
I was squirming in my seat, he says.
Yeah, and he's a Bill defender, right?
He's a Bill guy. So I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get to the Jordan thing. That's the juiciest part of this.
But the Kraft stuff's pretty great that he was asked point blank about it.
Good job by this. I have no idea. I don't watch CBS Sunday Mornings ever. Whoever this interviewer is, I thought did a great job.
Yeah, he was good.
People are questioning CBS.
He said fired.
Which he did. Kraft later on said fired. Well, Bill's like, well, in the statement it was mutual. And it's like, well, he said fired.
No.
They threw all this stuff in Bill's face. I think this interviewer was exceptionally prepared for this.
He was good.
So I thought that was good. Bill, what a shot by Bill. When he goes, yeah, well, he's not in the book, right? And he's like, correct.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why not? Not even in the acknowledgments.
Well, it's about everything I learned.
It's about the life lessons that I learned from football, which is his way of saying, Robert couldn't teach me a thing about football. Which is probably true.
Yeah.
But like that's such a shot at Robert.
What did Jordan teach him about football? She's in there as the idea mill. We'll get to this and the creative muse, but you thanked her.
Yeah.
You thanked a bunch of people.
Sure.
Like hundreds of people were thanked or mentioned.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do a big like smooch thing. But I think specifically not putting them in there makes it a story.
Yes.
If you just threw their name in there and like thanks to like even if like it kind of kills you, at least it's less of a story.
What?
Like you don't include them, it's gonna be brought up.
What?
And it's not gonna get brought up on McAfee, it's not gonna get brought up with Lombardi.
No, this was
it's gonna get brought up with this. Why did you do this? Why did you choose to do this?
Well, again, I think he probably thought it was a soft landing spot to promote his book, and this guy wasn't gonna play ball.
This guy's like, where's the story? He's like, somebody probably told him, like, you know he's dating somebody who's like 50 years younger than him. He's like, story. We have a story now.
We all know that Bill and Robert are not good right now.
No.
I love that they left in the little clip where Robert's like, I'm not gonna kiss you. He's sick. And it's like they just left that
brutal.
In.
Yeah.
But what a shot from Bill. Make no mistake. That was a shot across Robert's bat. Well, no. I mentioned people in the book that taught me something about football.
Right.
Ipso facto, Robert couldn't teach me a thing.
Nothing.
About football.
In 24 years.
And you're right, Keith, his girlfriend. All the things that the idea mill. Well, you'll hear it here.
She's an idea mill.
We're going to have to. There's no way we can let this, like 90 seconds. There's no way we can let all this go without reacting. Right. But my God. Let's listen to this.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
And idea.
Make sure that's the
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
Stop right there for a second. That is really telling. It's like one line, but that is really telling. So if you watch this entire clip, it's like under 8 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Like the whole story. But they filmed it for a long time. And I think CBS has even come out because people were questioning, like the Bill defenders were like, why would you even include some of this Jordan stuff? And we'll get to more of it in a second. But I think it was because she was doing this quite a bit. I think throughout the entire interview.
Florio wrote this over the weekend.
Yeah,
he says,
yeah.
It wasn't, we're told, the only time she interjected,
right,
which you're going to hear coming up. While we don't know the total number of interruptions, it's our understanding CBS decided to include that one as the specific instance because it wasn't a one-time thing. So she was constantly in the middle of it.
She thinks she's the executive producer of this segment. And so she's like in there, what they can and can't talk about. Like, that's wild.
Wild.
But like, they throw that and like, credit to them with like, just matter of fact, leaving that as like a thing, right? And not being like, no real tone to it. Just sort of like, she did this quite a bit during the interview.
Constant presence. Which is a nice way of saying,
pain in the ass.
She is bat bleep.
She's crazy.
Let's keep going.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship.
Right over there. Right there.
Another one, right? Because I'm sure this guy's done 1,000,010 interviews, right? And how many times is the person he's interviewing girlfriend or whatever, just like hanging out by the monitors?
You've got your granddaughter, girlfriend over there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like if you got picked up for a CBS morning report, can't imagine they would interview you, but let's say they did.
Yeah,
let's say they wanted to do the next expose on Adam Jones. Would your wife even be there? Let alone
chirp.
Yeah, she'd be like at the monitors with the headset on.
If she were there, she might, but she would never be anywhere
near there. Right. She'd be like, you'd come home the next day, like, how'd the interview go? Like, oh, it went pretty well. Or didn't. And then like we move on with our day. I wouldn't be there trying to micromanage every little thing. That's another really professional way to say it, though.
You got Jordan right over there.
Right over there, which is weird AF. We got to point that out. There she is.
There she is.
Sitting there. Just
having
so we know who we're
life.
Talking about.
Yeah. Keep going.
Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
So that's Jordan off camera going, we're not talking about this.
So that she shuts that one down.
Yeah.
Right? Like she's a lawyer like with her client there who's committed crimes that he can't talk about.
Objection!
How'd you guys meet? We're not talking about that! Overruled. So...
we're not talking about it. You guys have talked about it. You met on a plane. What do you mean you're not talking about it?
I thought we did know the story.
We did.
Or is that not the story?
Well, if she's not there, does he ask it?
I think he probably was like...
Good question.
She's been interrupting the interview so often. Let's ask some questions about her.
Hey, how'd you guys meet?
Yeah.
What's going on with you two over
maybe.
There?
Maybe.
Yeah, did Bill invite this by having her around in a constant presence? And it's like, well, she's right there. I'm going to ask about the... Good point, Billy. Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I also think, I mean... it's weird when people pick and choose like where they're getting privacy. It's not like she doesn't post 1,000,000 pictures of the two of them together.
Seriously.
Like it's easy if she had like a private account and Bill was never on any of this stuff and they were just together. Say they were happy and they were together, but she wasn't on the field at North Carolina
flaunting it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then maybe you wouldn't ask it about it, but I think he was probably like, all right, this probably is kind of a personal thing, but you've made it very public, so she's sitting right there. Yeah. Let me ask about her.
Hey, Jordan, how'd you guys meet? Was it when you were dating the 60-year-old billionaire who was weirdly dating you and while Bill was with Linda? Is that how you met again?
Right.
Could you remind me if that's how you guys met?
There's a lot of internet theories.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fair to say any of them because, again, you never know who gets Sue happy and everything else. But there's a lot of different theories. They're one click away as to what's going on down there.
So how'd you guys meet? We're not talking about this.
Just say the same lame-ass story that you said before.
We met on a flight.
Met on a plane. I helped her with her homework.
You. Yeah, right. I didn't ask you. Right. Bill, how did you guys meet? Oh, we met on a flight. She was super into psychology. She's so worldly.
But how insane.
Like, whatever that nonsense is that we heard in the beginning.
How insane is it, though, that Bill Belichick is being asked a question on a CBS show, greatest head coach of all times, all these Super Bowl rings falling out of his pockets, and then a 24-year-old girl's like, he's not going to answer that. Is this, I don't want to go too far afield.
Bill, the media is being too mean to you. Handle this.
Is it, I don't know what the full definition of elder abuse is, but are we getting it down that road?
From her standpoint?
I would be terrified. Honest to God, my dad is the same age as Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If this was going on.
I'm sure his kids are terrified.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what is happening here? Are you okay? Blink twice.
No. You said you called it earlier. It's a cry for help.
It is. This whole thing is a cry for help.
Clearly not okay. Keep going, though.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on, though Hudson has recently posted about it on Instagram.
Another shot.
You join InstaFace, as you put it. I love that.
Good one.
There's some great pictures of you and Jordan, where you're a fisherman and she's a mermaid. It's charming. It's a different side of
it's
you.
Charming.
What's the reaction been like?
It's charming.
what's it been like?
To have these different sort of photos. There's another one where you're doing, I know you're not into meditation or yoga or Pilates. You're balancing.
Any physical activity, right?
On your feet. Yeah. And she's doing kind of the Titanic pose.
Another fun one.
So I'm on some of those social media platforms, but I honestly don't follow them.
Yeah, that's Bill's way of saying I don't run any of those things. Like, you think I wanted to do this?
I have no idea.
But
I
that's
was told
amazing.
To be on these things.
Bill is now on a national news program getting red Instagram posts about flopping around like a fish.
Yeah,
and doing her flopping around like a fish and doing an airplane.
Doing an airplane with
that's where your life is at.
With his granddaughter.
I'm not talking about this.
I mean, she should have stepped in on the airplane thing. She should have stepped in on that.
No, she likes those.
But, like, she's posting those. She's using, like, they're all just, like, desperate, like, thirst traps and things like that for her to get.
No, but leave Bill alone. This is his private life, Keith. Leave him alone.
You've made it very public. And she's also right here, and she's interrupting the interview constantly.
No, this is Bill's private life. What he does in his private time is up to him.
Oh, my God.
Like, why would you even question it?
It's sad.
It's something.
It is. It's like, yeah. I know he's still coaching, but it's like post-coaching career or like post-playing career. Like, when you see these guys at like the highest highs, like, it's not always going to be like that. And like, things happen, right? At the end of everybody's lives, things going to happen. And you're like, this never in a million years would have been something I could have predicted. And it's wild to see. I thought the interview was fake at first. Like, when they were showing, I'm like, oh, you can do anything with AI. Like, you could create stuff. Like, this is going to be fake. Like, he wouldn't really sit and do this.
That's honestly more believable than what actually happened. That's
correct.
A good point. Yeah.
That's sad. Sad.
It's
not talking about this.
We are not talking about. How dare you?
Like, you
ask my man about that. How dare you?
I would love to see the full interview.
Right.
Like, I would.
Like, what? Like
the 1 hour.
The raw
footage. How many times she interrupted? What she was getting them to stop talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That question was a nothing question. How'd you guys meet? We're not talking about that.
Well, that makes it seem awfully sketchy how they met, doesn't it? We're not talking about it.
Very sketchy.
What actually happened?
So wait, now I didn't really care before. Now I need to know. I didn't give a rat's ass how you met, but you don't even want to talk about it?
What happened on that flight? No, don't answer
that. I don't know.
Don't answer that.
I don't know.
617-779-7937. I promise we'll get to some phone calls on this. More thoughts on the Patriots draft. Elliot Wolf, the Wolfpack, he giveth and he taketh away. Because he dropped quite a bomb about how unprepared they were for the draft a year ago. We'll get to that with your thoughts next.
Hey, Elliot, I'm curious, in your opinion, how did you guys do things better this year than you did last year or in years past?
I just think the whole vision for the team was really good. Not that we didn't have that last year, you know, or with Bill previously, but there was a lot of clear communication between Vrabel and our staff. He was around a lot in our meetings. It was just a really good process. And then I would say, you know, as the guys are still working on it right now, hopefully they're closing some of these undrafted free agent deals out. And this is on me from last year. You know, we just didn't have an organized enough process. And Ryan Cowden and Coach Vrabel and Stretch really came in and you know, helped me organize this. And I think we're going to have a productive group.
That was quite an omission, or admission rather, from Elliot Wolf. Like, I want to give him credit for saying this is on me. But maybe say a little less.
Yeah.
We weren't organized enough.
No. No.
I needed Vrabel and Stretch and Ryan Cowden and all these other guys to get organized. Like, that's quite an admission. And I guess you got to give them credit on some level. But maybe keep that to yourself next time. Don't say the quiet part out loud.
That was like Cam Neely talking about the 2015 draft. Like, Don Sweeney didn't even know he was going to have the job for like a month. And like, we didn't know what was going on there. We couldn't make any trades. And we should have talked about the picks after the picks. You're like, all right. Like, we know it was bad. But I guess that's good. I think it was like all these guys helped me.
Yeah.
Like, Elliot, you're not in charge.
No.
You're not in charge.
And
you're a part of the group, I guess, but these are variables picks.
I see this in the Twitch chat, and I've heard others say this as well, that, oh, well, it's not a bombshell. We knew Wolf needed to implement a system. Do people honestly think this draft was Elliot Wolf's system?
I do not.
Do people think his system had anything to do with these picks? Like, come on.
I don't think he had a big say.
Last year, maybe his system wasn't fully installed. But the idea that it wasn't organized, that no one said it wasn't organized.
Right.
No one said they like weren't ready. Not organized means you kind of weren't ready. No one said that. We knew they were implementing the system and it was going to take some time to put in. You weren't organized.
I mean, you had months. Like, you knew you had the job for months.
So that was Wolf after the full draft, all seven rounds, which I gave a B. You gave a
B plus.
Scheim gave it an A. You know, I think a lot of people were very high on this draft. Kuiper gave him an A. Well, I don't know how we feel about Mel Kiper these days.
I don't know.
You know, I'm looking.
He did give the Browns an A plus purely because they took Shadur.
Did he actually?
Yeah, they took three quarterbacks.
I had not seen that.
A plus.
Wait, did he really give them an A plus?
I
didn't realize that. That's
ESPN
hilarious.
Thing was Mel Kiper gives out one A plus, and it was the Browns.
It was the Browns.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I. So if you want the headline,
so if you want to point to Kiper's grading today, go right ahead. But that's
Kiper.
Yikes.
Wow. So Dylan Gabriel in the third round, yeah. And you get an A.
Yes. You know, I'm looking at like the Yahoo roundup today. Patriots get an A. I'd give it an A if I liked Will Campbell at four. I don't. I have a hard time going to the A range.
Sorry. The Browns.
Yes.
Traded out of Travis Hunter and got Mason Graham and two quarterbacks, and they got an A+.
Yeah. They passed on Travis Hunter.
Correct.
They got a 5'8" Dylan Gabriel.
And they drafted two running backs, two quarterbacks, and Mason Graham.
What was one of the backs, though? Quinshon Judkins? I like that
I
do like that pick.
And Mason Graham might be fine, but you could add Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
And you don't get Travis Hunter, and you get Mason Graham, two quarterbacks, two running backs. You get an A+.
So let me.
I hate to say this because I've always been a fan of Mel Kiper.
You have.
That might be time.
If
they're not letting Lee Corso do it anymore, might be time for Mel.
I said on Thursday night on night one, I'm like, he's suspiciously not a part of the broadcast. That changed.
We know why.
Oh, my God, did that
They're probably
change.
Like, we got the Shador guy. We don't need him all night one. These guys are actually getting picked. Let's talk about them.
Save your bullets, Mel. Save your bullets for day two and three.
What do you think about the Mason Graham pick? Why did they not take Shador?
So like, all
right, back down.
Who had a worse weekend, Bill or Mel?
I think Bill.
I think Mel.
I think Bill, because this whole thing locally was like a talker here and there. Now I feel like nationally everyone's like, what has happened and is he okay? I think so. I think there's concern for Bill.
What the hell's going on with Bill?
Well, I think that the voices of the man he's living his best life dead.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying that. If you are, watch that interview again. Yeah.
No, he's living his best life.
Man, he's living his best life. Oh, man, I'm jealous of Bill. You are?
Yeah.
Maybe don't be.
Seriously.
I think he had a worse weekend. I think Mel, though, man, that was a rough
Maybe you're right. Nationally, Bill's going to take more of a hit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know about that. But, like, maybe nationally people weren't as aware of the Bill stuff. Locally,
we were kind of on it.
I feel like we were aware of this. I didn't realize Mel had lost it that much.
Yikes.
That was a bad weekend for both of them. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Celtics. They played a playoff game last night. Pretty big topic, I would think. So we'll get back to that. Meantime, Jake in Boston waiting patiently. Hello, Jake.
Oh, well, of course I'm going to chime in on this. Listen, I've seen a lot of internet chatter in the wake of this interview of people who are somehow surprised that Bill Belichick was controlled by a 24-year-old woman, like it was a revelation. I think my reporting over the last 7 years reveals otherwise.
Reporting.
This was the five-year anniversary. This was the five-year anniversary of Bill getting pistol-whipped into letting the dog take over the draft. 6 years since he drafted Juwan Williams for Linda. The real Patriot way was that you had a quarterback who gave up his marriage for the game, and you had an owner and a coach who were absolutely desperate for a women's touch that they'd do anything otherwise. This is a trend with Bill. This is where it's surprising for a lot of people. It's a trend because Linda was the start of said trend. He adjusted practice schedules for her. Obviously, the dog. He skipped the Senior Bowl to go on a beach holiday with him, and he spent much of his pre-draft period, and mind you, the drafts were a huge issue with him, gallivanting around Broadway in Nashville and going to Middle Tennessee State because it would appease her.
So,
and that's
Keith, do you think, and that's all the reporting from Jake over the years, good stuff.
7 years of reporting.
Do you think Linda was a problem?
No, I mean, I didn't really follow it all that closely. I'd have to look back on the timeline because remember, people did this with Brady and Giselle,
yes,
too.
Yes, 100%.
I'd have to go, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Now, I don't know. I'm not as plugged in as Jake.
I don't know what year they got together.
I don't think Linda was a problem. This girl?
I mean,
this girl's a problem.
Personally, for sure, for him. Professionally, I would say. He's not in the NFL.
Not talking about this.
Yeah,
was a big theme this weekend.
That's what a problem looks and sounds like.
I think that was a big theme this weekend, too, was the Atlanta Falcons and a bunch of other teams being like, okay, we made the right call. Because part of you is like, if you brought in a coach over the last 2 years.
Great point.
And you had to say you brought in whoever and not Bill Belichick, you had to like defend that. Now you're like, see?
Yeah, do you see what we were?
I think
you see why we passed.
I think we made the right call.
Was she there for the interview on Blank's boat? She might have been.
Probably. Yeah, probably. I think that's the other thing is like the start date of that relationship is a gray area.
Suspect.
Speaking of Linda,
it's
suspect.
I would say Linda thinks it's a very suspect timeline. Yeah.
Yeah.
George is in Warwick. Hello, George.
Hey, guys. I don't know as much as the Patriots know, so I'm looking at this draft and going, okay, if they did everything else but you flip the first two picks to Jonte and Ursary, a tackle and running back, both of whom were there, would that change your draft grade? Because that's going to be tough for me not to follow those two players.
Great call. Great call, and yes.
I just boil it down as simply as I just wish they flipped on day two and three. Oh, he's saying Jonte. Oh, I would feel much better about that.
Yeah, yeah, no, yes. I would too.
Ursary also went to Houston, right? They traded up to get him?
Yeah, they got both Iowa State guys and the guy.
And Ursary would have been there at 38.
Yeah, he took every guy you wanted.
Yeah, they so did. You could.
And so did the Bucks, by the way. A lot of the
Oh, well, that's really more their undrafted crew.
The Haas.
Haas of the year.
And they got Tez Johnson.
Haas of life. Oh, yeah, and Tez Johnson.
So we point out maybe the smallest guy and the biggest guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice. You could remake the film Twins.
You could do that.
Dan DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Remake that with those two guys.
Aaron Judge, who did he get? And Altuve?
Altuve is another good one. Shrek and Donkey here in Boston. But no, Ursary went 48, so you could have taken him. So I guess you...
Right. Would I feel better about Jonte at 4 and Ursary at 38 than what the Pats did? Absolutely. Yes.
Because I think even though I like Campbell more than you, the drop from Ursary to Campbell or Campbell to Ursary is not as steep as Jonte to Henderson.
Right. There's a bigger gap at running back.
Oh, wait. Dice on Twitter points out too, going back to the Browns draft, not only did they pass up on Hunter, but they passed up on Mason Graham, or they passed up on Jonte and then took two running backs. So they could have just had Jonte.
What a team.
But anyway.
What a team. People are like, oh, what a great deal by the Browns moving down with the Jaguars. I'm like, I don't think the Browns know what they're doing. I like the trade for the Jaguars.
Yeah, so do I.
Now that we're seeing some of the return.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. All your thoughts on that weird Bill Belichick interview along with the Patriots and their draft. But let's get back to the Celtics. They're up 3-1, but should we be impressed? That's next.